Children of Virtue and Vengeance by Tomi Adeyemi. In Tomi Adeyemi's Children of Virtue and Vengeance, the kingdom of Orisha is thrust into a bloody civil war following the restoration of magic. The narrative picks up shortly after the centennial solstice ritual, exploring the devastating consequences of the returned power and the deep-seated trauma of its protagonists. The story is told through the alternating perspectives of Zali Adebola, Princess Amari, and King Inan, each struggling to navigate a world where magic is no longer a memory but a volatile weapon. Part 1, The Price of Magic and the Burden of Grief. The story begins with a profound sense of loss. Zali Adebola, a reaper of the Iku clan, is consumed by the memory of her father, Baba, who sacrificed his life during the ritual to bring magic back to Orisha. She recalls the lullaby of the tides and the warmth of his presence, contrasting it with the cold, gray reality of Jameta's rocky bluffs, where she prepares to lay him to rest. Zali feels the purple light of her Ashethe divine power that fuels magic bubbling under her skin, but it only reminds her of the pain of her father's spirit tearing through her veins. Accompanied by her brother Zane and Princess Amari, Zali struggles with the guilt of Baba's death. She questions the utility of her powers if they could not protect the people she loved. Amari, now marked by a white streak in her hair signifying her new magical abilities, provides the oil necessary for Baba's burial at sea. As they speak the sacrament Tirti Dai Odikeji, until the other side, Zali reflects on the long list of the fallen, Lekanthi Sentaro, her friends Zuleikan Salim, and Mama Agba, whom she believes perished. Amari, meanwhile, is haunted by the ghost of her father, King Saran, whom she killed to free Orisha from his tyranny. She believes that as the rightful heir, she must take the throne to usher in an era of peace and fix everything her father broke. However, the political reality is far more complex. Rowan, the mercenary leader who aided them, brings news from the capital city of Lagos. He reveals that the Magi have formed a revolutionary army called the Ayika, the Revolution, and stormed the palace when magic returned. Furthermore, the military, led by a new admiral, has all but declared war, hunting Magi, like dogs, and clearing out entire villages. Amari decides she must address the public to bring stability. Despite Zali's exhaustion and reluctance to continue carrying the plight of my people, she agrees to help Amari secure support for her claim to the throne. To fund this mission, Zali visits Rowan's hideout in the sandstone cliffs of Jameta. There, she encounters Rowan's enforcer, Harun, who taunts her with the slur, maggot, and reveals that there is now a high bounty on her head as the one who brought magic back. Zali convinces Rowan to aid them by promising him double the gold once Amari is queen. Part 2, The Rally at Zaria and the Return of the Queen. The group travels to Zaria to hold a rally that Amari hopes will solidify her claim. The coastline is vibrant with coral reefs, and hundreds, perhaps thousands, of villagers gather on the white sands. To project strength, Zane convinces Amari to wear her blood-stained armor from the ritual grounds, including the royal seal. Zali helps Amari make a regal entrance by having her ride the giant lionair, Nayla. Amari's speech focuses on ending the unjust persecution that has plagued diviners and Magi for decades. She recounts the murder of her best friend, Binta, at the hands of her father to illustrate the cruelty of the old regime. The crowd is initially moved, chanting, "Long live the queen, Ki Emi Olor Ogun Ayaba." However, the peace is shattered when a voice bellows, "Lies," from the back of the dome. Queen Nihanda, Amari's mother, appears, very much alive and clad in golden armor. She denounces Amari as a traitor who has endangered the kingdom with magic simply to seize power. Nihanda reveals a shocking development: she and many other nobles and soldiers are now Titons. Titons are magic wielders from the nobility who manifested magic after the ritual. Unlike the Magi, their powers require no incantations to use. Nihanda, a grounder of the Ogun clan, demonstrates a terrifying level of power. She sucks the ash directly from the veins of her own Titon soldiers, turning them into skeletons to fuel a massive attack. She punches her fists into the ground, causing the earth to split and the dome in Zaria to crumble. In the chaos, Nihanda's forces deploy glass orbs filled with Magicite gas, an airborne version of the magic dampening alloy that causes Magi to scream in agony while leaving the magicless Kasidan unharmed. Zali, Amari, and Zane narrowly escape the collapsing dome on Nayla's back as Zaria burns. Part 3, The Ayika and the Magi Sanctuary. Fleeing the disaster at Zaria, the group retreats into the Adichie forest. Amari is determined to find a weakness in her mother's overwhelming magic, while Zali is spiraling into despair, feeling that magic has only brought more pain. Zali runs away on Nayla and, after a fall, is pulled into a dreamscape. There, she finds Inan, who is alive but thin and scarred from the sword wound his father inflicted upon him. Inan claims he tried to stop the guards from shooting Baba, but Zali, blinded by her grief, uses her magic to bind him with black roots before waking up. In Lagos, Inan wakes up to a city ravaged by Ayika firebombs. His cousin, Ajore, informs him that they are at war with the Magi. Inan is crowned king by Nihanda, though he is horrified by her ruthless tactics. He attempts to be a better king than his father by offering amnesty and food rations to any Magi who defect from the revolution. However, his efforts are undermined by the deep-seated hatred between the two sides. At a meeting near the ruined walls of Lagos, a young Ayika burner named Rafe rejects his offer and uses her magic to incinerate the city's food reserves. Ajore executes Rafe on the spot, and Inan, realizing the Magi want victory no matter the cost, resolves to end the war by force. Back in the mountains, Rowan leads Zali and the others to the Ayika's secret sanctuary. Isla Josen, a massive complex of temples and towers built into three mountain plateaus. To Zali's overwhelming joy, she discovers that Mama Agba is alive and leading the rebellion alongside a council of Magi elders. Mama Agba reveals that she and Baba were leading Magi survivors to the sanctuary when they were attacked. Baba offered himself up to the guards to spare the others. The Ayika council consists of powerful elders, Ramaya, of the Connector clan, Naimata Tema, and Kamaruth Grounder. They have no interest in Amari's claim to the throne, seeing the monarchy as an inherently corrupt institution. Instead, they want to place Zali on the throne as the soldier of death, who brought magic back. Zali is formally ascended as the Reaper Elder in a ceremony where she receives an Ishipayara divine vision from Sky Mother. In her vision, she sees a rainbow of power where different colors of magic intertwine. Amari, feeling increasingly isolated and desperate to be heard, challenges Ramaya for leadership of the Connector clan in a ritual duel called Ijamimo. During the fight, Ramaya brutally tortures Amari with magic, prompting Amari to abandon her needle precision and use her magic as a hammer, a raw release of power that leaves Ramaya in a critical coma. Zali is horrified by Amari's lack of restraint, telling her she chose to win at any cost, just like her father and brother. Part 4, The Siege of Chandomblay and the Moonstone. As the war escalates, Zali discovers that the golden tattoos on her skin are the mark of the Moonstone, a power bestowed by the gods during the solstice. Mama Agba explains that the Moonstone has the ability to bind life forces, which explains how Titans like Amari and Nihanda can access magic through the noble bloodline. However, the cost of creating a permanent connection, or a center, usually requires a significant sacrifice. Zali is also intrigued by the possibility of combining different types of magic, a feat that reportedly created the world's magicite deposits a century ago but killed the Magi involved. The Ayika elders decide they must retrieve ancient scrolls from the Temple of Chandomblay to strengthen their forces. Amari, sensing a chance to end the war without further bloodshed, uses her magic to enter Inan's dreamscape again. The two siblings share a moment of genuine connection and grief, ultimately agreeing to a peace treaty that would dismantle the monarchy and grant the Magi full autonomy. Inan travels to the outskirts of the sanctuary to present the treaty to Zali and Amari. However, his mother, Queen Nihanda, and Admiral Jokoye have tracked him, and they launch a massive assault on the Magi base. The battle is catastrophic. Admiral Jokoye is revealed to be a powerful center of the Winder clan, capable of creating massive blades of air that rip through the sky and level the forest. In a desperate bid to save the Magi, Zali uses the power of the Moonstone to tether her life force to her young student, Maisley. Together, they summon an unprecedented army of hundreds of animations to drive back Nihanda's forces. The strain of the combined magic is too much for Maisley. He dies in Zali's arms shortly after the victory. Zali is shattered by his death, screaming that she should have died instead. Part 5, Vengeance and the Raising of the Dead. The death of Maisley and the destruction of the sanctuary's secrecy push the protagonists to their breaking points. Amari, realizing that her family will never allow peace, decides she must be as ruthless as her mother to win. She assumes command of the Ayika forces and plans an attack on Abadan, where Inan and Nihanda have relocated their base. Zali, meanwhile, discovers the full potential of her Moonstone ability. She realizes that by connecting her life force with others, she can amplify her magic to an impossible degree. In a momentous event, Zali tethers herself to Zane, Kamaru, and Kani, the healer elder, to perform a ritual that raises the dead. They successfully resurrect the villagers of Abadan who were killed by a toxic magicite gas attack launched by the monarchy. Witnessing this miracle, the Magi and the elders rally behind Zili as she declares that there will be no mercy, no peace, no terms of surrender, and that they will march to Lagos to tear down its walls. In Lagos, Inan's world is falling apart. He discovers that his mother, Nihanda, was the one who originally assassinated his grandfather decades ago to stop a Magi referendum, effectively starting the generational war herself. He realizes that the monarchy itself is the poison of Orisha. Inan decides to dissolve the institution of the monarchy entirely and makes a public announcement to the nobles in the throne room. However, just as he declares the end of the crown, the Ayika attack the palace. The final confrontation in Lagos is a scene of utter chaos. Amari faces her mother, Nihanda, in the palace halls. Though father's voice in her head urges her to strike, Amari chooses to be better and refuses to kill her mother, despite the queen's taunts that she will never be great. Zili finds Inan in the palace cellars. Inan, true to the letters he had sent her, refuses to raise his sword. He provides her with the location of the royal treasuries and states he is ready to die at her hands so Orisha can start over. Zili begins to pull his life force away, feeling like she is killing a piece of myself, but they are both interrupted by Rowan. Before any final action can be taken, a mysterious cloud of white gas magicite engulfs them all, knocking them unconscious. Epilogue, stolen from the land. Zili wakes up in a dark, rocking cell, surrounded by the stench of vomit and the sound of chains. She and Amari are bound together with dozens of other Magi, including Rowan and Zayn. Looking out a small window, Zili sees only the open sea. She realizes that they are no longer in Orisha, they have been kidnapped and stolen from their land by an unknown enemy. The book ends on this chilling note of uncertainty, as the survivors of the civil war are carried away toward an unknown fate across the never-ending waves. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.